So what did we talk about last week? What we are. It's what we are in Christ. Huh? Man, that's a powerful message. Let's just review it just a little bit on that so we can, because what we're going to talk about today is going to flow right in. What we looked at was Matthew 18:1 through 8. And in Matthew 18:1 through 8, what we found was is that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and he manifested himself in the Spirit and allowed them to see what he was in the Spirit. And he was this magnificent spiritual being. I mean, his face shone like the sun. His clothes were as white as snow. I mean, white as the light. I mean, he was just an awesome, awesome spiritual being. And then the disciples, they fall down onto the ground, and they cover up their faces because of what they're seeing. And Jesus goes over and touches them and says, "Don't be afraid. Come on, guys. Hop up, up. Come on, stand up here." And when they looked up, all they saw was Jesus. They didn't see the glory. He was back to his original state. But now watch this. What we discussed last week is that he is always in that state. It wasn't just he manifested himself and then stopped being that. He was always this glorious, fantastic spiritual being. He just opened their eyes and let them see what he really was, and then back down into that earthly vessel again, and went on with his ministry. But he was always, always, always that awesome spiritual being that they saw on the mount. And so just because you can't see that glorious spirit doesn't mean that you're not that. Because Jesus always was that. And as we found out, as we got into the Word, we found out that we are born again. And what is being born again? 1 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature or a new creation in Christ. What happened when that new creation took place? That new creation was our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that our spirit was joined with Jesus' spirit, and we became one spirit with him. So that same glorified, awesome spirit that he is, ours, joined with his. So it's reasonable to believe that we're these glorified beings too, these awesome beings in Christ. And then in the spirit realm, they see us as such. Demons see us as such. The angels see us as such. Anybody that can look into the spirit world sees us as awesome spiritual beings. They're not looking at our flesh. They're looking at our spirits. And our spirits, we look just like God because we've taken on his spirit in us and we're in him. That's a great revelation right there. That is just tremendous. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The Amplified literally says we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, born anew. Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." I love the Amplified. It says, "And put on the new nature, the regenerated self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness." Man. And then we discovered that in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, in fact, we're actually going to kind of look at that again, so we'll skip past that. Let's look at let's look at Romans chapter 8:18. Romans 8:18. This was a verse I wasn't able to touch on because we kind of ran out of time. Pretty familiar piece of scripture, but we kept confirming over and over again in the scriptures that we had the glory of God on the inside of us. I'm just going to mention this here. 2 Corinthians, let's see here. I believe it's chapter 4. I don't have it written right here. But it talked about that, he's talking about the glory of God that was in Jesus' face. And then Paul went on to say that we have this in earthen vessels. Whew. That's powerful. And in Romans 8:18 it says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It's in us. We have this glory in us. Man, that's powerful. In fact, I ran across this scripture. Where is it? It's 1 Peter 5. Let's go over there real quick. I ran across this over the next week, and I went, ooh, that's a good scripture right there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter had a revelation of this too. So the elders, and this is verse 1, 1 Peter 5, 1, "The elders who are among you I exalt, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." And he didn't say that someday I'll be a partaker. He's saying I am a partaker. It just isn't been revealed to us entirely right now. Why? Because our bodies still need to be glorified, and we're going to get into that. There's still a redemption that still needs to take place in our soulish man and in our physical man. But in our spirits, we're already glorified beings. All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll get started with the lesson here, and this is really good. The title of this is "The Glory of God, We Are the Children of God." So what we're going to find out, now we found out what we look like in the Spirit and what God has done to recreate our spirits and how awesome we are in the Spirit. We're going to discover something a little deeper now, and this is that we are the children of God. Notice that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and here's Jesus, he's being tempted out in the wilderness, and look what the devil, what is his temptation? What does he attack concerning Jesus? Two of the three temptations is this. Verse 3, "Now when the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" look at verse 6. "And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.'" What's the devil doing? He's testing Jesus to see, do you really believe you're the Son of God? Do you really believe who you are? Now, we're talking about Jesus here. We're thinking, can he be tempted to think that? Well, the devil wouldn't have tempted him if it wasn't a temptation. Amen? And you know what? You and I are going to be put to the test. We're going to go through this lesson. We're going to discover who we are in Christ. And the devil's going to test us at every road. He's going to challenge us on this the way he challenged Jesus on this. Let's look at Matthew 8. Why is it important, and why is it he was challenging him concerning, are you the Son of God? Why is that important to the devil? Why was he attacking that? Watch this. In Matthew 8, Matthew 8, 29. There we go. It says this. Now he was out roaming around, and he came across these two demon-possessed men. And these two men ran up to him. It says that when he had come, this is 28, when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gazarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Now note what they say here. It says, "And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God?'" Why did they call him, "You Son of God"? And notice, notice it was the demons that were talking. So they're looking in the spirit realm, and they see this Son of God coming. They see this awesome spiritual being coming. And they run up, and they have nothing. They have to cry out with a loud voice, "Why have you come here, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time?" It's like they couldn't help themselves. They had to prostrate themselves before that awesome spiritual Son of God being. And they threw themselves down on his feet. But they identified him with a title. And that was, he's a Son of God. Now this is important. Hold on to that. Because in that he's a Son of God, and that's what they declared, that was the outstanding feature about him, was that he was the Son of God. You know what? They're not the only ones that did this. Let's look at Mark 3. Mark 3:11. Mark says something interesting here. Mark chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, "The unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" Now note how he phrased this. He says, "And the unclean spirits..." This is something that happened over and over again. It was an observance that every time they came up against unclean spirits, this was a common occurrence. This was something that happened regularly. Whenever they saw him, who are they talking about whenever they saw him? Talking about these demonic spirits. Every time a demonic spirit came within reaching room of Jesus, whenever they could identify him, they would cry out and say, "Who? What are you doing here, you Son of God?" That's powerful. Because obviously being the Son of God holds some authority and causes demonic forces to bow their knee before sons of God. Is that awesome or what? Do you remember... Well, we just read about Peter who said, "Yeah, I'm a partaker of the glory of God." Do you remember in Acts where everywhere he walked, there was a period of time there where he would walk, and if he got within a shadow's breath of anybody, demons would flee. People would get healed. And all he would do is just walk down the road. And just his very presence was causing demonic people that were demon-possessed to fall down, and demons were cast out, and healings would occur, and all those kinds of things, just because, and I suggest to you, he's a Son of God. He's not the Son of God, but he is a Son of God. Now, you understand what I'm saying here? But the commonality of what happened is that they would all cry out, and they would declare the Son of God. Let's go to Acts 19. The spirit realm is very acute to who we are in the spirit. And we need to be just as acute as they are in the spirit realm. It says here, this is Acts 19. Let's go to verse 11. "Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to him from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Now, this is a very interesting response of these demonic, of this demon here. Also, there were several, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Now, why did they respond that way? Because in the spirit realm, Paul I know. He's this awesome spiritual being, this Son of God, that is walking around, and it's obvious who he is. Jesus, we know, he's the Son, he is the Son of God, and he's an awesome spiritual being, and there's no doubt he's got authority. But who are you clowns? Who do you think you are, walking around acting like you're sons of gods when you ain't? Well, how could the spirit realm, I mean, how do they differentiate between the two? It's because they can see in the spiritual realm and they see who you are in Christ versus who the phonies are that are claiming Christ. Those that truly are not born again. And that spirit called them out on the carpet and said, you guys are a bunch of phonies. I know who Paul is. I mean, if you could see with my spiritual, you know, you could see what I'm seeing here, man. Paul is, I ain't messing with him. And Jesus, I know, I ain't messing with him. But you guys, and it says that those spirits jumped all over those seven sons and tore them apart. They had no authority. They were not sons of God. Now, as we get into this, it's gonna make more sense to you. Let's look at John chapter 1. We just gotta come to this realization on the inside of us that we need to walk in an authority that we haven't walked in before. And now that we know that we're these awesome spirit beings in Christ, we gotta know what our authority is in that. The spirit realm knows who we are. But like the devil, unless we're willing to walk in that and acknowledge that and to stand on that and walk in the authority of that, and that's what he was challenging Jesus, you know, are you going to do this? And Jesus says, oh, you betcha I am. I know who I am. But we're going to be challenged the same challenge. Are we going to walk like sons of God? Are we going to walk like the awesome, powerful beings that we are in Christ? That's our challenge. We don't need to walk below our privileges. But we've got to come to a revelation. Who are we in the Spirit? And that's what we're learning here. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in other words, if you've been born again, if you've been born of God, if you've got that reborn, recreated spirit, then you have the right. You have the right to be the children of God. But just because you have that right don't mean if you don't walk in it, the devil's going to test you on that. But you have a right to it. You have a right to walk in the awesome spiritual being that you are. You have a right to become a children of God. Man. And what John is saying here, he says that's God's goal. That's why he came. That's why he sent his son. So to, not just to have our sins forgiven, but that we become his children. Man, what God has done for us is huge. Don't take it lightly. Man, there's nothing better than to have a father mentor a son so that he has become so mindset. Say a father has this multi-million dollar business and he spends years and years and years raising his son, showing him the business, getting him mentored into that thing, so that when the day comes, he can give him that inheritance, and he's able to walk just like his father in that business. And you wouldn't even know whether the father was the one on the phone conducting business or it was the son on the phone conducting business. And that's the way we're supposed to be walking. You come up against spiritual principalities and powers out here. You come against sickness and disease. Any of those things happen that you encounter. Those demons should not know the difference whether or not that's Jesus himself standing there saying, "You get out of that man in the name of Jesus. Get. I speak to you and you take off." That's where we're supposed to be. We're his children. And as children, we have all the rights that we have inherited from Jesus on this earth. I give you the authority. All authority has been given to me. Isn't that what Jesus said before he ascended? Therefore, you go. Therefore, you be a son of God. Therefore, you be a child. And do what I did. Greater works than you will do these works, plus greater works than these shall you do. How is that? Because we have the right to become children of God and to walk in the same authority as Jesus did right here on this earth. Because Jesus is in us. Are you hearing me? Sons and daughters and children of God. We're a force to be reckoned with. Oh, that's good. We're going to find out even more about that. Let's look at Philippians 15. All right, Philippians 2:15. I thought that seemed like an awful... That book has expanded since the last time I looked at it. Philippians 2:15. "And that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Wow. We're the children of God, shining like lights out into the world, man. Wow, that's a directive that we have. Shining that glorious being that we are into this world. Walking as children of God, victorious in every area. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. We have the right to it. Are you born again? You have a right to it. Walk in it. Look at Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. I'm in the wrong book. That's why it didn't look right. Here we go. This is good. Romans chapter 9. Paul is using a prophecy here from Hosea. And in verse 25, 9:25, he says, "As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God." Hosea was prophesying that you people of Israel, you think that you're my children just because from Abraham, but that isn't my place at all. That's not exactly... He says there's going to come a day when people are going to be born again. They're going to be my beloved, that I'm not calling my beloved right now, but there will be. And they're going to be called the sons of the living God. This is a title that we need to take on. And ladies, in the spirit realm, there is no male or female. So when they say sons, they're talking about you. Amen? You're just as son of God as... You know, it's funny, Shalice, she put a Facebook thing up. And I don't know, I can't call this a coincidence. She just happened to be kind of, I guess, kind of mulling over this Son of God thing for some reason. I mean, and she made the statement. She goes, you know what? She goes, I just feel like saying today I'm a Son of God. And she said, I know that sounds ridiculous because I'm a female, but I'm going to say it anyway. Isn't that amazing? And Shira says, I was just reading that on Facebook with Shelly. I mean, what a coincidence, because I was sharing with her what I was going to share today. And she's like going, really? I mean, he's calling us to another level here. Huh? Amen? He's calling us to walk as sons of God. Because that's what we are in the spirit realm. We need to be mindful of the spirit realm, not the flesh realm. I mean, you need the flesh realm so you don't crash your car and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just, but I'm just saying that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our war and our battle is with principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not live after the flesh. Isn't that 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Chapter 5. This is how we need to be walking. And this is good. Wondering, well, how come I don't have any victory in my life? We're not walking as children of God. The devil's challenged us on that and says, yeah, no, I'm just this flesh and blood and I'm subject to whatever the devil dumps on me. We've got to have to raise our thinking up. We've got to start renewing our soulish mind and say, look, I'm a son of God. I don't have to put up with this. And when you say that, that's resisting the devil. And what does it say when we resist the devil? He's got to flee. He's got to cry out and say, it's the Son of God! I'm telling you, there's times when I wish that we could just peel back our eyes and see the spiritual realm and get a peek at it. We'd go, wow, that's really what things look like in here? Whoa! It'll change you forever. It did Peter, James, and John. Man. Now remember, the Word is our mirror to tell us who we are in the Spirit. And all I'm doing is sharing Scripture here. This is our spiritual mirror. And it's revealing who you are in Christ. It's good stuff. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. The Word is just full of this. We could go on and on, but we won't. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, if that couldn't be a stronger declaration of who you are, there it is right there. And this statement leaves no doubt. It says, "For you are all sons of God." You are right now sons of God. You need to establish that on the inside. And it says, "For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female." So if you need scriptural confirmation of whether or not you're a son of God, and even though you're a female, there it is. "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are all sons of God. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewardship until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons." Whew. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are, definitively, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you see him saying, pick up your mantle? You're a son of God. And we need to be walking as such. Amen. He sent his son for this purpose. Let's not make it a useless youth, you know. What a crime it is that we walk so below our privileges, who we are here on this earth. We've got so much going for us. Whew. We just got to be able to see in the spirit realm through what the Word is revealing to us and make this such a part of our lives. Let's look at, again, let's go back to Romans 8. Well, I tell you, Paul has such a revelation of this. I mean, and with this in mind, some of these scriptures really start popping out at you. But Romans 8, let's start chapter verse 12. Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. He is our Father. God Almighty is our Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's pushing hard on this, trying to get this over to the Roman church. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Note he says that we are joint heirs with Christ, not sub-heirs with Christ. Man, that's awesome. That's a powerful statement. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation itself is sensitive to the fact that we are sons of God. Why aren't we that sensitive? That's amazing to me when I read that. My dog has more spiritual sense than I got. That's amazing, and is eagerly waiting for us to step up as sons of God and it all be revealed. And all of creation is that way. Man. Waiting to take direction from us, waiting to benefit from us stepping into our role as sons of God. They know they'll benefit when we get a revelation of who we are in Christ. And the spirit realm, when they look out over the terrain of people on this planet, they'll go, there's a son of God, son of God, son of God, son of God. Well, not. Son of God, not. In fact, I'm going to show you in Scripture here. We're not going to dwell on it, but there is three accounts where in Ephesians 2:2, in Ephesians 5:6, and in Colossians 3:6, referring to the sons of disobedience. There's actually two kind of sons here on this planet, and there's only two, and that is sons of disobedience and sons of God. In fact, I don't see it on there. Maybe we'll bump into it. So it says here that the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Man, this is what they're eagerly waiting for us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies, for that full redemption to come into play. But they've already seen that we in the Spirit have already accomplished that, sons of God. Look over here in verse 29. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." See, I mean, he's their oldest brother, man. He's the firstborn. Or is the firstborn, is the secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, fifthborn? Amen? That's us. We're the sons of God. He is the Son of God, and we're the sons of God. Whew, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we're the kings and the lords. They're sitting right underneath him as children of God. Whew. "Moreover, whom he predestinated, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." That's who we are. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For the sons of God walking in the authority of that, who in the world could come against us?" That's where we need, that's the kind of mindset we need to have. "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Why? Because he can trust him with us, because we're the sons of God, man. Ooh. Man, if you're not getting fired up, your wood's all wet, man. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." It's pretty stern talk. But as a son of God, you can talk that way. You know, what demon, what devil, what anything in the spirit realm can sit here and accuse you and give you a hard time and all that kind of stuff when they're going, "Oh no, he's a son of God. I ain't messing with him." But he will mess with you if you don't know who you are. If you don't flex your muscle. Telling you, the choice is yours. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing. We're his sons. And no matter what my sons do, they're my sons. Amen. "Yeah, but I'm so unworthy because I..." No, shut up. You're a son. Amen. He doesn't abandon his sons. Verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, neither things present or things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. And when you start feeling thin in love, start saying, "Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, that's my Abba Father, and I'm a son." That's good stuff right there, man. That is outstanding. We're going to wrap this thing up. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. And I mean, we do enjoy reading this verse, and it is an awesome verse, and it makes a good point. Therefore, in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." But read the verse right before that. It's equally as powerful, man. In light of what we just said, look at verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Meditate on that just a little bit. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And I suggest that you are to not consider your brothers and sisters according to the flesh. You consider them according to the Spirit, just as you would consider Christ. And I'm going to push it even further. I'm going to say, don't you dare consider yourself in the flesh. Because that's not what you're to be paying attention to. You're to be paying attention to who you are in the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, therefore, and the reason why it's therefore is because of what he just said in 16. Therefore, from now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what we're to focus on, not the flesh, the new creation that we are. We're sons of God. We're the children of God. Man, you're not going to hear this preached in every church. I guarantee you. But in my closing comment, in the spirit realm, our identity is sons of God. When angels see us, he says, that's the Son of God. When demons see us in the spirit realm, he says, there's a Son of God. That's a Son of God right there. Watch out. And in particular, the demon world goes, that's a Son of God, and he knows it. Don't touch him. I got my brains beat out last week messing with that guy. Or that gal, buddy. I ain't going there. Let's mess with the other one over here that's just not really sure. Are you the Son of God? You sure you're the Son of God? I didn't think you did. Amen. We gotta rise up, take our rightful position. So we've discovered that we're awesome, spiritual, fantastic beings recreated in Christ. These awesome, glorified beings. And we have a title. And it's a powerful title that causes demons to slide to their knees and say, you're the Son of God. You're a Son of God. Oh, don't mess with me. Please stay away. Sickness and disease is the same way. Sickness and disease can't stay on a Son of God who knows who he is in Christ. Can't stay. Poverty can't stay. Anything that's in the curse can't stay. You've been redeemed from the curse. See, I mean, we're taught that we are in Christ. And what I'm trying to give you is a visual of what that looks like. And that's what I'm trying to give you. Something to grab hold of. Something tangible that you can grab. And say, wow, okay, I can see the frame that I need to be in. I mean, it's, oh yeah, we're in Christ, we're in Christ. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We're in Christ. Well, what's that mean? And what we're discovering here of what we really are in Christ, we're powerful. We're awesome. In Christ. Amen? Now, you should be realizing more victory in your life in every area as you walk this out. And practice this in your thinking constantly. I'm an awesome spiritual being, a son of God. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this message, and we just thank you for the revelation that we're sons of God, that we are your sons. And that all the spiritual realm knows this is a fact. And that we need to walk in revelation of this thing so that we can have victory in our lives. And we are pronouncing right now in the spiritual realm and into this physical realm, we are sons of God, and we're not tolerating any curses, any diseases, any poverty, any demon possession or oppression in anything in our lives. We're not going to tolerate, because we are the sons of God, and we're not going to tolerate it being around us. No more. We draw our line in the sand today. We are the sons of God, and we recognize that, and we're walking in that. Father, I just prayed you. Smith Wigglesworth,
had such a revelation of this that he could just walk on a train and people would slide to their knees and go, "You convict us of our sin." How's that possible? Because he knew who he was in Christ. We need this revelation. Holy Spirit, just help us as we meditate and pray in the Spirit over this message. Help us get this revelation down on the inside of us solid. Thank you, Lord. To where people, even in the natural, they just sense, wow, there's a Son of God here. They might not be able to identify it by name, but they're going to be able to identify something different here. I mean, their lights shining in the world. If that's the only way they know how to describe it, that's fine. But we have knowledge of who we are. And I thank you, Lord, for this revelation. We thank you for your word. It's so thorough and so complete. And it's a mirror, a reflection of who we are in the Spirit, Lord. Let us not waste it. Let us walk in it. We commit ourselves to it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.